In this fight, as Tim Walz likes to point out, we are joyful warriors.
In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and their personal choices that they make. There's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
He has figured out a way to talk about progressive issues to the general public, the American public.
Honestly.
Yes.
And directly.
Yes, they are creepy and weird as hell. You see it. You see it.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Bulgarians protest their new no-promo-homo law. Argentina's new right-wing government shutters its anti-bias agency. And the revitalized Harris-Walz Democratic ticket reshapes the U.S. presidential race. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Ava Davis.
And I'm David Hunt.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 10th, 2024. Chants of shame on you filled the streets of Sofia, Bulgaria for 2 days following Parliament's passage of a no-promo-homo law. An amendment to the 2020 Preschool and School Education Act outlaws what it calls propaganda, promotion, or incitement in any way, directly or indirectly, in the education system of LGBTQ views and ideas. Under the legislation, non-traditional sexual orientation is defined as different from the generally accepted and established notions in the Bulgarian legal tradition of emotional, romantic, sexual, or sensual attraction between persons of opposite sexes. Sponsored by the right-wing pro-Russian Revival Party, the overwhelming August 7th vote was 159-22, with 12 abstentions. Pro-European Union parties in Parliament unexpectedly backed the measure, although an EU Commission spokesperson told Politico that it remains steadfast in its commitment to tackling discrimination, inequalities, and challenges faced by LGBTIQ individuals. The Bulgarian queer rights group Destavi's name means action, and it was one of the groups behind the protest action outside the Parliament building this week. Destavi's lawyer, Denitsa Lubinova, warned that the Russian-style no-promo-homo bill implicitly foreshadows a witch hunt and sanctions any educational effort related to LGBTQ people in school. The feminist organization Lev Fem called the legislation a hate law. Its statement charged that the MPs who voted for it normalized violence against LGBT plus people and denied LGBT plus youth access to information and life-saving support during the most difficult times of their lives. In addition to Russia, similar no-promo-homo laws have also been enacted in Bosnia, Hungary, Moldova, and Turkey. It's a direct assault on the fundamental human rights of LGBTIQ plus individuals, particularly children, according to the Belgium-based EU-wide queer advocacy group Forbidden Colors. Protesters in Sofia this week were shouting, "Bulgaria is no Russia," and "Silence means death."
Argentina's far-right president, Javier Milei, is closing down the National Institute Against Discrimination, Xenophobia, and Racism. He had called it the Thought Police during his campaign, but officially the August 8th move is part of the new administration's effort to cut public spending. Since its creation in 1995, the Institute has led the fight against various forms of discrimination, including bias based on sexual orientation or gender identity. It was originally part of the Ministry of the Interior and was moved in 2005 to the Ministry of Justice. The decree is the final nail in the agency's coffin. Milei's government has been slowly strangling it for months, but recent reforms cleared the way for it to be dismantled completely. Staff will supposedly be relocated to other government ministries or be laid off if positions are not found after 6 months. Temporary or informal independent contractors will be terminated immediately. Milei's defenders claim the discrimination protections in Argentina's constitution make the National Institute Against Discrimination, Xenophobia, and Racism unnecessary. Gay Congressman Esteban Paulin and queer Socialist Workers' Party member Santiago D'Ambrosio disagree and expressed their concerns to the Washington Blade. In Paulin's words, "It is extremely serious, not only because of the local context, but also the global context of a growth, an increase in anti-Semitism, racism, violence, xenophobia, and LGBT phobia." To D'Ambrosio, the agency's closure endorses discrimination not only towards sexual diversity, but also towards so many other oppressed, violated, or persecuted sectors, such as workers in struggle, migrants, and people with disabilities.
Utah says its students should be protected from the story of three teenagers navigating pregnancy, a gay romance, and HIV infection. Ellen Hopkins' Tilt is one of 13 books the state officially banned this week, the first U.S. state to require the removal of specific books from school library shelves. Several fantasies by Sarah J. Maas are on the list, as is Blankets by Craig Thompson, a graphic novel about a boy moving away from Christianity. Margaret Atwood's dystopian Oryx and Crake and Judy Blume's sexually charged coming-of-age Forever are out. And missing from the poetry section is Rupi Kaur's Milk and Honey, a collection about violence, abuse, love, loss, and femininity. If it includes sexual activity, including masturbation, it's banned. Reading choices are generally made by local area school teachers, administrators, and librarians. Thanks to a law signed by Republican Governor Spencer Cox, this Utah State Board of Education directive now rules. It dictates that any book banned by three local school districts, or by two school districts and five charter schools, must be removed from all schools. Casey Meehan is director of the Freedom to Read program of the writers' rights group PEN America. She calls it a dark day for the freedom to read in Utah. PEN warns that similar actions are being considered by Republican majorities in Idaho, South Carolina, and Tennessee.
23 Republican U.S. senators are demanding that the NCAA ban all trans women and girls from female school sports. Their August 6th letter to the National Collegiate Athletic Association president, Charlie Baker, tells the governing body to update your student-athlete participation policy to require that only biologically female students participate in women's sports. The issue of trans participation in competitive athletics has continued for the past several years to roil the governing bodies of several collegiate sports organizations. Opposition to female trans participation in particular is based on the notion that they have physical advantages over cisgender females because they were assigned male at birth. Several studies dispute that assertion. In a statement to The Hill, the NCAA would only say that it will continue to promote Title IX, the federal ban on bias in education based on sex, make unprecedented investments in women's sports, and ensure fair competition for all student athletes in all NCAA championships. The Human Rights Campaign's response is representative of the queer and human rights group pushback against the senator's demand. Anti-trans sports bans risk further marginalizing young people who already face tremendous challenges in school. Proponents of these bans suggest that trans athletes are pretending to be trans in order to do well at sports, ignoring entirely the incredible stigma trans youth face.
Finally, acute myeloid leukemia took the life this week of Major League Baseball's gay ambassador for inclusion, Billy Beane. He was just 60 years old. Ann Northrup and Andy Hum of Gay USA TV remember his career.
He was a Major League Baseball player for the Detroit Tigers, the LA Dodgers, the San Diego Padres, for about 6 years or so. He came out after he retired, and in fact, he did not go to his lover's funeral. He played a game instead because he was so scared of being outed.
But he came out in 1999, 3 years after he left his playing days, and he was, at his death, the only out current or former player who was gay. I mean, before that, you had Glenn Burke, who died in 1995 and came out in 1982.
Shamefully treated.
So he joins the office of the commissioner, Bud Selig, in 2014. He became baseball's first ever ambassador for inclusion, focusing on player education, LGBTQ inclusion, and social justice. Promoted to vice president in 2017, adding anti-bullying efforts to his plate, and then became the senior vice president of DEI.
Trump well, he would go around to teams and hold talks in locker rooms, yeah. As we would do in schools.
He is survived, by the way, by his husband, Greg Baker.
Hi, my name is Billy Beane, and I was a Major League Baseball player from 1986 to 1995. I am gay. And you're listening to a show that hits it out of the park every week. This Way Out Radio Magazine.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending August 10th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappell. Produced by Brian DeShazor and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm David Hunt. Stay healthy.
And I'm Ava Davis. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris has chosen her Democratic Party presidential campaign running mate, and her pick is a longtime outspoken ally of the LGBTQ community. Harris highlighted the resume of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz at their first joint appearance together on August 6th during a raucous rally in Philadelphia.
To those who know him best, Tim is more than a governor. To his wife, Gwen, he is a husband. To his kids, Hope and Gus, he is a dad. To his fellow veterans, he is Sergeant Major Walz. To the people of Southern Minnesota, for 12 years, he was congressman. To his former high school students, he was Mr. Walz. And to his former high school football players, he was coach. So, America, for some folks, they're just getting to know Coach Walz's story. And I'll tell you, he is the proud product of a middle-class family in rural Nebraska. He is a veteran who served our nation in uniform for more than two decades as a member of the Army National Guard. And he went to college on the GI Bill. When Coach Walz and his wife Gwen moved from his native Nebraska to Minnesota nearly 30 years ago, they both took jobs at the local high school. Coach Walz taught social studies, Gwen taught English. After school, Tim was the linebacker's coach for the football team. Where I've heard the stories about he had a knack for using the game of football to teach life lessons. He saw the potential in kids who sometimes didn't even see it in themselves. Under those Friday night lights, Coach Walls motivated his players to believe they could achieve anything. And together, they defied the odds, hear this out, going from a winless record to the school's first ever state championship. And I'll say and I'll add, Tim wasn't only a role model on the football field. Around that same time, Coach Walls was approached by a student in his social studies class. The young man was one of the first openly gay students at the school and was hoping to start a gay-straight alliance. At a time when acceptance was difficult to find for LGBTQ students, Tim knew the signal that it would send to have a football coach get involved. So he signed up to be the group's faculty advisor. And as students have said, he made the school a safe place for everybody.
Walls credits his students with inspiring him to run for Congress in 2006. He beat an anti-queer Republican in a Republican-leaning district with a platform that includes support for marriage equality. Walls went on to fight for the repeal of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy on the floor of the U.S. House in 2011.
I had students that I taught in the classroom, coached on the football field, trained in my guard unit, and they went off to Iraq to fight for this nation. They went off to Afghanistan to fight for this nation. Not once in my career did the question of sexual orientation ever come up. It's time to erase this this mistake for our security and for Americans, and I'll be with you every step of the way.
After 12 years in Washington, Walz has twice been elected governor of Minnesota. Last year, he ridiculed the anti-queer response to the rainbow-themed Pride collection at Target stores. The giant retail chain is headquartered in his home state of Minnesota.
You know, a governor next door to me this week made the case that a rainbow on a T-shirt at Target is destroying our democracy. That's nonsense. That's just insane. And I think most people here in Minnesota agree.
From his debut speech as a vice presidential nominee, Governor Tim Walz is showing himself to be an engaging presence imbued with the warmth and happiness the Harris campaign is making its trademark.
Some of us are old enough to remember when it was Republicans who were talking about freedom. It turns out now what they meant was the government should be free to invade your doctor's office. In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and their personal choices that they make. Even if we wouldn't make the same choice for ourselves, there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business. Donald Trump sees the world a little differently than us. First of all, he doesn't know the first thing about service. He doesn't have time for it because he's too busy serving himself. And that's to say nothing of his record as president. He froze in the face of the COVID crisis. He drove our economy into the ground. And make no mistake, violent crime was up under Donald Trump. That's not even counting the crimes he committed. Like all regular people I grew up with in the heartland, JD studied at Yale, had his career funded by Silicon Valley billionaires, and then wrote a bestseller trashing that community. Come on! That's not what middle America is. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to debate the guy.
It's a very clear thing. Yes, they are creepy and weird as hell. You see it. You see it. This is not normal. This is not normal behavior. Nobody's asking for this crazy stuff.
There's an old saying in politics that what can swing undecided voters in a place like Wisconsin is whether you seem like somebody they would like to have a beer with.
Yeah.
Why would people in Wisconsin want to have a beer with you?
I guess they'd want to have a beer with me because I actually do like to drink beer, and I probably like to drink beer a little bit too much.
You've been criticized as being a little too serious, a little angry sometimes. What makes you smile? What makes you happy?
Well, I smile at a lot of things, including bogus questions from the media, man.
Silence of the Lambs. Has anyone ever seen the Silence of the Lambs? The late, great Hannibal Lecter is a wonderful man. He oftentimes would have a friend for dinner. Remember the last scene? Excuse me, I'm about to have a friend for dinner. Is this poor doctor walk by? I'm about to have a friend for dinner, but Hannibal Lecter, congratulations, the late, great Hannibal Lecter. We have people that are being released into our country that we don't want in our country, and they're coming in totally unchecked, totally unvetted, and we can't let this happen. They're destroying our country, and we're sitting back. And we better damn well win this election, because if we don't, our country is going to be doomed.
Oh, still crazy. Still crazy. Still crazy after all these years.
Walz's record drove the Republican campaign to near distraction in their first attack ad against him.
Kamala Harris just doubled down on her radical vision for America by tapping another left-wing extremist as her VP nominee. Tim Walz will be a rubber stamp for Kamala's dangerously liberal agenda. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they're failed, weak, and dangerously liberal.
The reaction to Walz's nomination from the oldest LGBT group in the Republican Party is even more extreme than the standard party line. In the words of Log Cabin Republican President Charles Moran, Walz has embraced the radical left's insane theories on sex and gender, including pushing sexualized gender theory curriculum to kindergartners in classrooms. Moran hysterically charges that Walz signed a bill allowing the state to take young children away from their parents if they don't let them undergo dangerous and life-altering surgery. Our friends at GayUSATV.org Ann Northup and Andy Hum looked at Harris's choice of Tim Walz this week and how it changed the presidential campaign.
I don't know about you. I remain cautiously optimistic. No one's perfect. I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop. But I really think this was a visionary choice by Harris.
We all have a lot of work to do to make it happen in all parts of the country.
Because when it looked like Biden was going to be the nominee, people got depressed. And
weren't doing anything except saying, I'll vote for him if I have to.
And maybe not even that. I want to note Harris is being conversant with the language.
Yes.
She, Gay Straight Alliance, rolls right off her tongue.
Comfort levels.
Yes, but knowledge and experience and comfort.
Well, she's a San Francisco liberal.
She is. Well, but as J.D. Vance says, Tim Walz is a West Coast wannabe. Is that the best you can do?
Such
JD?
A clever guy. But let's go back.
We'll get to him.
Let's go back to Mankato West High School.
Mankato
West High School. We're going to hear from Jacob Raitan, who was a student there in the late 1990s, about his experience with the Waltzes.
Gwen was my former teacher. Tim was not, but Tim helped to start the Gay Straight Alliance. When he ran for Congress the first time, he ran on a position of being for gay marriage in 2006. This was one of the most anti-gay years in the history of American politics, but he came up for gay marriage. My mom actually said to him, Tim, this is before he had announced that he was going to run, she said, Tim, you don't have to be for gay marriage for our family. But he said, Rondi, I got to look my gay students in the eye as I'm for gay marriage.
So he has figured out a way to talk about progressive issues to the general public, the American
public. Honestly.
Yes.
And directly and simply.
Unapologetically.
Well, and because, as we understand, and I'm sure all of you do too, when you talk about these issues directly and simply, they become what they are, which is sensible and reasonable and with great values. And so he has latched onto that. Now, he also later rejected the support of the NRA.
Yes,
when he,
and gave all the money back.
After Parkland, after the shooting.
And there's, you know, on so many issues, on trans kids in sports, he's been there. On trans access to public bathrooms, he's been there. On discussing LGBTQ issues in schools, he's been there. On discrimination protections, he's there as governor.
For trans kids and declaring Minnesota a sanctuary state when other states started passing laws that forbade care for trans kids and no conversion therapy.
Exactly, and for gender-affirming care.
We're seeing this sweep across the nation. It's being led by bullies. And I say this as a teacher who cannot stand bullies. So as pens were raised in sign and brought fear and hatred and nothing positive, we're going to put pen to paper today that say, this state will protect you. This state welcomes you. This state wants you. We'll do it.
And of course, Vance attacked Walls for letting convicted felons who have served their time regain their voting rights. Now, of course, that's not very considerate of your running mate, JD.
How about convicted felons who have not yet served their time? Do they get to vote?
From Gay USA TV, that was Ann Northrup and Andy Hum. Massive rallies followed the one in Pennsylvania later in the week in other battleground states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, and Nevada. With less than 3 months before the November 5th elections, it remains to be seen if the current level of enthusiasm for the Harris-Walls ticket can sustain and how it may affect critical down-ballot races for the U.S. House and Senate, as well as state and local elections. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was recorded this week by Ava Davis and David Hunt and produced by Brian DeShazer. Special thanks this week to Ann Northrup and Andy Hum of Gay USA TV. You heard music by Billy Joel, Elton John, Paul Simon, and the Bobby Fuller Four. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tide Foundation and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you could join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on KMUN, Astoria, Oregon, WUND, North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, Fresh FM, Nelson, Tasman, Blenheim, Eastern Golden Bay, New Zealand, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.